Welcome to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every single episode of the hit 90s TV series Melrose Place.
I'm Jenny Hill.
And I am Dan Hill.
Let's start this!
This is episode 14, Drawing the Line, air date November 4th, 1992. And I was scared of this episode.
Why?
I don't know why. It was like really dark and rainy and...
Oh, yeah. You mean throughout the episode?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like before you watched it, you were scared to watch it.
No. It's just like during it, it wasn't fun.
I know.
A lot of them are fun.
It was kind of a letdown for me.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. We open up. Allison is at the beach house.
Right. Keith's. We had a cliffhanger from last
week. We did. If you remember, Keith is like, Allison, I love you. I'm going to leave my wife for you. Say something.
Yeah. And wasn't that the daytime?
Yeah.
And then this opens up at night.
So... we can assume that things have happened. They've had some talks. It's night. Allison's looking over the crashing waves. And then Keith comes back, comes over to her, and she's crying, I think, right?
Courtney Thorne, I love you, but you have some issues with the waterworks.
No, it's hard to discern her emotions.
Sometimes she's smiling when she's sad. Other times she's crying and you're like, is this a laugh?
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
So she's looking over the waves and Keith comes up and says, Allison, you're making me a little nervous here. And she is crying. And she said, I've just never been with a man who makes me feel so comfortable.
Yeah, and Keith's like, well, what's the problem?
And
you're married. How about that? That is the problem.
Yeah, I know. That's like when he asked that, it was just like, because you're married.
You're married, bruh. That is a major issue for people.
And then Allison says, I just never thought that this could happen to me. That I'd fall in love with someone and someone would actually love me back.
Yeah, and this, I was confused because I thought she was for sure going to end it here, and now she's rejuvenated and back to like head over heels again.
Well, my thing here is, what kind of self-confidence does she have that she really thought that she could never fall in love and no one would ever love her back?
I don't know, because her last relationship was with a male boy who stole her ideas at work.
Well, I don't know. I think that this might be a little looking into her childhood. And I mean, I think that might say a lot about, I know that she's referenced her dad before,
mm-hmm.
but I was struck by, wow, you really didn't think that you'd ever fall in love or no one could ever love you. That's gotta suck.
Yeah, it sure does. So we cut to back to Allison's apartment. Billy is in a tank top. He's disheveled.
He's drinking coffee. You can tell he's not pleased.
Yeah, and he says he's waited up for Allison, and Allison is back to like, ho-hum, I'm great, life is wonderful, Keith is in love, we're in love, everyone else, go away.
Yeah, so this is kind of like the same scene that we've seen over and over again. Billy is waiting up for Allison. Allison comes in on her ray of sunshine. She's so happy about her love life. And Billy's like, well, Allison, I told you that you need to break up with him. And You're doing the wrong thing here. This has happened at least 4 or 5 times now in the last 2 to 3 episodes.
Come on, Allison. I've been waiting up for you the whole time.
And Allison says, life doesn't always come neatly packaged, and neither does love. And then Billy says something that was pretty good here. He was like, you sound like a crazy Hallmark card, which is true. I mean, for as much as we like to rag on Billy, he does make a lot of sense. I mean, Allison is kind of acting like a mental patient here. It's every other minute she's in love with Keith, then she's breaking up with Keith, and then she's in love again, then she's breaking up, and she just doesn't seem to be able to make up her mind.
Yeah. So now we go to Rhonda's apartment. If you don't remember from last week, Rhonda's roommate Sandy has gotten the part and is in New York.
Shooting Forever and Always.
Yeah. So
she's gone.
She's gone. Rhonda needs a new roommate. So we're back to square one. And Rhonda answers the door. And it is Carrie, played by
Ray Dawn Chung.
Yeah, Ray Dawn Chung, the daughter of Tommy Chong.
Of Cheech and Chong.
Of Cheech and Chong, which is very strange.
Well, she has a very, like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air Hillary vibe to me.
Yeah, she
does. I mean, like, really crazily. Yeah. So she comes in and she's, but she also has this weird, like, Stepford wife.
Yeah.
Kind of thing going on.
Yeah, she's robotic.
Like, she's like, hello, thank you so much for having me. May I please look at the apartment? And she's walking around and seeing everything. And she says, I'm an OP. And right. Rhonda's like, oh, you deliver babies. No, that's an OB. OP is an organizational professional. So I organize everything and I own my own business.
Right. And me, if this were me, I would have been like, nope, thanks a bunch. And it wouldn't even have gotten to like knock, knock on the door. I would have snuffed you out way before with a letter or a telephone call. You would never be living with me, bruh. I'm sorry.
Well, Rhonda is pretty impressed. She hands her a resume, all of her work references. She has really come prepared. And Rhonda's like, look, I have been interviewing a parade of losers. When can you move in?
And she says, even before that, she's like, oh, well, that will explain your fabulous bod. Like, what?
Oh, because she says, what do you do for a living? And Ron is like, well, I teach aerobics. And she's like, wow, that explains the bod. And what a wonderful way to exercise. And you get to teach people how to reach their fullest potential.
Yeah, and she's like, where would my room be? I don't know. It's a little too forward. This is clearly not going to work. So we move on.
So that takes us to Matt, and he is visiting a lawyer's office because he does want to move forward with that discrimination suit against the halfway house.
Right, and we meet the lawyer, his potential attorney, Sarah Judith Hogg, who, if she looks familiar, that's because she was April O'Neil in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One of my favorite movies growing up as a kid.
And you can't forget Tandy on Nashville, who's Raina James' sister.
Right. She's had a hell of a career, but here she is. She's this up-and-coming lawyer who is sort of hiding that she's kind of chomping at the bit to get Matt's case.
Right. So she's like, look, it's pure and simple. I mean, this is a discrimination case, but how far are you willing to go? It's going to get ugly. And Matt's like, look, I am ready to lay it all on the line. I want to move forward with this. And the attorney's like, okay, great. Well, I just need $5,000 for upfront costs.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna put my fees on hold, but I need $5,000. That sounds like a fee to me.
It does. So, of course, Matt is a little taken aback at this. He wasn't making that much at the halfway house to begin with, and he doesn't really know what he's going to do to get the money, but he's on a mission to figure it out.
Yep. Then we go to the Melrose Place courtyard. Of course, the backbone of this place, Michael Mancini, is on the ladder fixing the roof.
Yeah, so he's repairing tiles on the roof, and we get a shot of a very ominous sky, and dark clouds are forming over Melrose Place, and Jane's there helping him, handing him the tools as he's going. And then,
with Billy.
And then Billy walks up, mm-hmm. And then Billy just starts gossiping to Jane all about Allison's love life.
Right. And Jane is, she's on board with Team Billy, where they don't like that Keith is involved with Allison. She's a homewrecker. You know, they're thinking about the other, the wife in this situation. And I agree with both of them. This is hella fucked up of Allison to be doing
this. But why is it their business and why are they just like chatting? It's not their business.
It's not their business, but it's human nature to talk about, you know, the things that are, like, it's affecting Billy's life in the sense that Allison comes home, he consoles her, he sees the seesaw of her emotions, and it's weighing on him, and he is involved, you know, he did go to Keith's house to try to back her, and he is a support, so he also needs support from Jane, basically.
I'm kind of in the Michael Mancini camp. Jane's saying, you just don't get involved with a married man. You just don't become a homewrecker. And then Michael's like, honey, don't overdramatize it, okay? Everything's fine. And I'm like, okay, yes, Michael. Like, let's just, like, keep to ourselves. And Michael does make a little comment here where he's like, I was a promising surgeon, but now all I'm doing is fixing tiles at Melrose Place.
Yeah, poor guy. He's just like, yeah. Come on, let's get back to work here.
See, I
someone hand me some fucking tiles.
I identify most with Michael because I feel like I'm so busy. It's like, I don't give a shit about any of the drama that's going on. Let me just get my work done and let me go to sleep. That's all I want in life.
I hope for our marriage that you don't identify with Michael down the road, because that would be a problem.
Well, at this moment, I do.
Right. Okay. So the weather's bad. We cut to Matt at his new job at Bikini Burgers.
Ooh.
Yeah, where he is now a server, and he's talking with Jake.
Yeah, we get the one appearance from Jake in this episode. Man, they put him there to be like, okay, I guess Jake has to be in this episode. Let's have him visit Matt at his first day of work.
Maybe that's why I was sad this whole episode.
You didn't get your man crush.
I didn't get my Jake. I need my hero. Where's my hero?
Well, yeah, Matt goes over. He's serving Jake, and Jake tells him, hey, I need $5,000. It's going to be really tough to make that, slinging burgers here. Mm-hmm. And that's when he brings up the idea of maybe asking his parents for the money.
Right.
And Jake's like, do your parents know you're gay? And Matt's like, yeah, they know, but they want to pretend like they don't know.
Right. And Matt has a line that I thought was really funny where he's like, I mean, if I'm working here to make this money, it's going to take till, I don't know, 2012 to get it. Like, 2012 is this unattainable year.
Well, it's 20 years from when they shot it.
Yeah.
God, right. 25 years ago.
But for real, though, if you're a server in Los Angeles, you can get that $5K.
Easily.
Easy. You could get that, man. We've all waited tables, man. You can make some good money.
Yeah. Most deaf.
Yeah. So now it's a full on rainstorm now at the Melrose Place courtyard. And Jane is checking her mail. I'm not sure why she decides to do this in the night when it is pouring.
I know. It's nighttime. It's pouring outside. But she's just got to get to that mailbox. So she runs out just in time to catch Allison coming home from hanging out with Keith.
Yeah, whimsical Allison is like, oh, this rain, huh? Man, isn't it a time to be in love? And Jane's and then like, Jane's yeah, like, go to hell.
No, Jane says, oh, congratulations, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Allison tells her, well, you don't sound sincere. And that Jane pretty much tells her, like, look, you don't get involved with a married man, which I think is kind of shows the character of Jane, because here she was talking behind her Allison's back with Billy, and she tells her how she feels up front.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think a lot of people have the tendency that they're going to talk shit behind your back and then to your face be like, oh, congratulations. It's so exciting.
Right.
But Jane's real with her and is like, look, I don't like what you're doing. I think you should stop. And one thing you got to think about, he's doing this to his wife. He's going to do it to you.
Right. But, and then, you know, Jane was going to leave this at good job or whatever and walk away. It wasn't until Allison
Says congratulations, I guess, and Allison's like, whoa, you don't sound too sincere.
Right. Yeah, I guess you're right.
That was just the opening. Yeah. How to open it up.
Yeah, but Allison, you know, it's not everyone's like new thing. You know, people don't have to be happy for you. She's your neighbor, yeah, but she doesn't owe you joy in your situation.
Yeah, and that kind of comes back to, why does everybody know about it?
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess they're all friends. I haven't seen them hanging out together much.
Yeah. Well, anymore. Jane and Allison part ways, and it's kind of on a sour note. She goes into the apartment, and, you know, she's her happy, bubbly self, and Billy is sitting there waiting for her. It's like, Billy is really not doing a lot of anything.
Yeah, and then Billy's like, oh, while you're wet, can you go get some takeout?
And he tries to make plans to hang out with Allison, and she's like, actually, I already have plans. And that's when the phone rings.
Right, phone rings. It's Keith. He can't make it tonight. He's busy. But what we see on this phone call is an interior shot of Keith at home, and then a figure in the background. A brunette
in the background taking off all of the clothes off of hangers.
Yeah.
Which I thought was odd, because if this is his wife, he said that she never lived at that apartment, at that beach house that she's been in D.C. So what clothes is she taking off of the hangers?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't trust Keith for anything. He could just be lying.
You're right.
You know?
You're right. Like, you can't take him at his word.
Yeah. But, so Allison is now pissed. Billy is validated that Keith sucks. And, but the next scene is Keith showing up.
Keith shows up to Allison and Billy's apartment, and he lets Allison know that Lily, his wife, has come home without any kind of a warning. He was getting ready to go pick up Allison for their date when she just showed up, and they had pretty much a knockout, drag-out fight where she's like, look, it's not over. You got to give me a chance. Mm-hmm. We can't end it like this. And he said, no, it's dead. I've made up my mind. I want to move on. And she kicks him out of his own house, so he's left with nowhere to stay, and that leads him to Allison's doorstep.
Yeah, and then Allison, of course, is super welcoming, and she wants to get him into some, get a hot shower and get him into new clothes, offers Billy's clothes
to him. Yeah, and volunteers Billy to be like, oh yeah, I'm sure Billy will give you some clothes.
Right, and I mean, Billy, of course, he's like, yeah, whatever. my tux isn't back from the cleaners yet, but whatever I have is yours. And then Billy kind of confronts Allison and is like, he can't stay here. And like, yo, Billy, you got no rights here.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, yeah. Billy, how can you say that Keith can't stay there when you're bringing in, okay, number one,
strangers,
a girl you met in a cab that right. basically lived with you for like 5 days, and then some other girl you met in a cab's kid that you're like, I'm just going to babysit this kid for like 12 hours and take him to Magic Mountain.
Yeah, we haven't forgot about Martin, that little freak you brought over to Melrose Place.
Allison was never consulted about those two guys.
Nope.
So it's, I agree with you. Like, why is Billy even in this conversation?
Yeah, Billy. Allison can bring whoever she wants into this place, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. So Keith is in the shower, and he's left all of his wet clothes strewn about their room. And Allison is picking up all of his clothes, and she picks up his jeans, and his wallet falls out of the back pocket. Mm-hmm. And of course, being curious, Allison opens the wallet, and inside is a photo of him and what we can only presume is his wife, Lily.
Right. Right, and she kind of gets like a little sour taste in her mouth, but then Keith comes out of the bathroom. He's sort of dripping wet, and I wrote that Keith is gross. But I guess this was to set up that, like, oh, Keith's a little sexy.
Yeah, he comes out and they start making out. And then all of a sudden we see a shot of their feet and the towel drops on the ground.
And then I'm like, oh, like, Allison's completely dry and Keith is all, like, wet from shower. And I found that, like, disgusting. But I wonder if, like, if our Twitter or Instagram or Facebook followers think Keith is hot.
I don't see
like,
it.
He's not. Like, all these guys, these, like, special guest guys, like Paul and Keith, they're all nasty. Yeah. Like, Rhonda's dude on the first date who wanted to, like, sell her, like, pills.
Oh, yeah, with, like, the thinnest mustache that ever
created. He was gross, too. Like, all these people are nasty.
Like you said, if you were ugly, the 90s was your time to shine.
Like, Keith, you, like, ew. This is just gross to me. I don't know. You let us know on Twitter if...
What do you think? If you think Keith is hot, we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
So, Matt is having dinner at his parents' house, and whoa, can I just live in his parents' house?
You like that
place? I love that dining room. It's beautiful.
It looked like the dining room of Beetlejuice. When when the shrimp ate.
No, it doesn't. Their faces. That does not look like that at all.
It looked just too plain.
No, don't listen to him. It does not look like that at all.
I wasn't into it.
Anyway, they're having dinner, and Matt comes right out with it and asks for the $5,000 from his parents.
I need $5,000, Dad. And his dad's like, what? For living expenses, I presume. And he's like, nope, it's because I'm gay and they fired me. And he's like, oh, God damn it. I knew that this would happen.
You've made this choice and now it's coming to haunt you. And Matt really stands up for himself and is like, Dad, this is not a choice I've made. It's as much of a choice as you've had with the color of your skin.
Yeah.
This is how I am. And people, I got fired because of it. And it is discrimination.
Right. And I mean, his dad is just trying to get him to look at the other side of the coin in the sense that, you know, with this court case, it's going to be ugly. It's going to drag you through the mud. It might drag us through the mud. All of our personal lives are going to be invaded, et cetera, et cetera. Which, I mean, that's all true, you know? But, I mean, it's something to think about. But Matt is like, thanks for the support, Dad. And his mom is like, no, don't leave, Matt, please.
But he's out of there.
Thanks for dinner.
Bye.
Yeah, so he's out. He's out of there, man. No support.
So it's currently a monsoon at Melrose Place. Mm-hmm. Never seen it rain this much. Well, maybe I can't say that. Maybe this past season it rained a freaking lot in LA.
But it is bad. It is bad out. And go ahead.
So Allison and Keith are sleeping. They're in bed. Mm-hmm. And then Allison turns over and sees the woman who was in the photo in Keith's wallet, which is what we presume to be Lily, his wife. And she's dressed exactly the same. It looks like the photo was maybe taken at a luau. They have some, like, Hawaiian stuff on and bikinis. And there she is, sitting there in the flesh.
Yeah, she's super hot. Lily,
really?
Yeah, I thought she was hot. I thought she was hotter than Allison. Like, Keith, you screwed up, man. You better repair that. I thought she looked good.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Lily is played by Juliana Donald. She had a pretty successful career. I'm gonna IMDb her. And she basically breaks it down for Allison that, like, this is all your fault. And you shouldn't be hooking up with my husband.
Yeah, she's like, look, marriages go through ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys. It can't be sunshine and butterflies all the time. And we were just going through a rough patch. But now you have come in and my marriage is dead because you destroyed it. You and you alone.
Right. And I didn't get it why she was in the necklace and the bathing suit, but... Because, that makes more sense because the picture.
Yeah, because that's the only frame of reference that Allison has. And this was obviously a dream. And so that's right. Why Allison imagined her like that, because that's how she's seen her.
Gotcha. So this just adds to Allison's stacked deck against Keith. And now we are off to Rhonda and her robot roommate, who is absolutely insane.
So Rhonda's getting ready for work and she goes to her cabinets and she can't seem to find what she's looking for. And it's very evident that the cabinets are crazily organized.
Yeah, and all they have in their cabinets is canned goods. That's it. Yeah. There is nothing else but canned goods.
So then the robot roommate comes out and she's like, "Oh, good morning, Rhonda. You might see that I've alphabetized everything in the cabinets." And she's like, "Yeah, I'm looking for my vitamins." "Well, if you'll just go to the last cabinet on the right, you'll see that vitamins fall in V right here for you."
Yeah, what a freak. That for me, what would you do? What would you do if your roommate did that?
I would be like, "Look, we need to talk."
Like right there, right?
Yeah, I'd say, "This is nuts." I'd be like, "This is like my stuff and I have it organized in a way that makes sense to me. And feel free to organize your stuff in any way you see fit, but I'd ask you to please have some respect and just not touch my stuff."
Yeah. Rhonda lets it go on. I'm with Jenny. Like this, I'd be like, "Hey, don't touch my stuff."
No.
No.
But then Carrie, she's like, "And you'll see, I've also thrown in a kitchen caddy. And this was last year's model, but no one's going to know. It'll be just fine to organize everything here in your kitchen."
It's like, you're a Looney Tune. So Keith, we go back to Keith and Allison. Keith wants to take Allison camping. And I'm like, does Keith ever work? Like, he's there for work, right? As a marine biologist, yeah, to save the ocean. And he has a lot of time on his hands. He's always on the phone with his wife. He's always hanging out with Allison. He's able to just go to her work. How are you doing these trips, man?
That's a good question. So they're in Allison and Billy's house. It's the next day. And Billy is not happy. That's when Keith comes out and suggests that they go camping for the weekend. And, he's like, "Look, I'll go and get everything set up. I'll come back and pick you up. Just bring your bathing suit and a sleeping bag and we're good to go."
Yeah. And that's all she needs. Well, she needs more than a bathing suit.
Well, I mean, I think, like, he was just...
Keith is not a good planner because, like, that is not a good list.
So Keith leaves to get their little camping trip all squared away. And then Allison tells Billy about the dream about Lily. And then he's like, "Well, what do you think it all means?" And Allison's like, "I don't know. I guess I'll have to find out when I go to her and meet her in person right now."
Stupid. This is a stupid plan. Yeah,
but I was like, yes, this is going to be awesome. Like, I was so excited that she was going to confront Lily and kind of get her side of the story. Right. So Allison drives up in her little hoopty blue car to Keith's beach house, where that's where Lily was. I mean, because she was going to be there and was leaving to go to San Diego that day. And we see a woman in a floral robe come out to get the newspaper, and she spots Allison watching her, and she starts approaching Allison's car, and then Allison just gets, like, all freaked out and turns around and drives away.
Yeah. Allison, one, you're a coward. Two, why would you go there and not say anything?
Yeah, and I'm like,
you're already there. She definitely sees you.
What a letdown too for the viewer. Like, I thought we were gonna get like some a nice juicy conversation or a cat fight or like something, but we get nothing, and then nothing is ever said about it again. It's like, okay, well, she tried to talk to her and then she left and that's it.
Yeah, it's done. So now we go to Allison trying to make small talk with Jane in the laundry room of Melrose Place.
Yeah, so the laundry room kind of acts as like storage as well. So all the tenants have little cubby holes or like little cages where they can store stuff. And Allison is getting her sleeping bag out as Jane is coming down to do her laundry. So Jane comes down and you can tell that she's kind of disappointed to see that Allison's there.
Mm-hmm.
And Allison's like, "Jane, what's your problem?" And Jane says again, "I can't pretend that I like what you're doing. I care about you and I really think that you should have broken up with Keith when you had the chance, when he told you he was married, and now you're going to just end up in heartache.
Yeah, and she has a line about how if you're in a marriage, you know, the longer you stay with somebody, the longer you reach a
transcendence is what she said. Yeah,
transcendence, which I guess she means that, like, the longer you're with somebody, the easier it is to stay with them, and you reach, like, sort of a nirvana of where you guys are just meshing.
But is it a nirvana, or is it just like, oh, we're roommates now, we're not in love, we're just, like, live together?
I guess, but that's Jane's goal.
And Allison's like, look, Jane, you are just projecting your own insecurities about your own marriage on me, which I think a little bit of that is happening.
Yeah.
Because I can kind of, we saw in a couple of episodes past when Mancini was hanging out with Kimberly at work a lot,
mm-hmm.
and he tells Jane about Kimberly, and that, like, there was a very weird exchange on the beach.
Should I be worried? And he's like, yep.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really where we left it with them. And we all kind of have an inkling as to where Michael Mancini and Kimberly's relationship is going to go. And maybe Jane kind of has that intuition as well.
Yeah. And I guess this is good writing and foreshadowing for down the road. It lays the groundwork for Jane of why she would stay with someone who treats her terribly.
Yeah, it does. Know?
So
that's a good point.
Yeah. Now we're back to Matt.
But can we just say one last thing? Jane leaves without doing her laundry at all. She just, like, picks up her basket and walks up the stairs.
Maybe she had already put it in.
No. She walked down with a basket full of clothes, put it on the top of the washing machine, had this little exchange, and then turned around and walked away.
Maybe she just wasn't in the mood after that.
She
was
just too mad she couldn't do it.
She said, you know what? Forget it.
I'm coming back later.
Or maybe it's one of those shitty washers. Or, like, and it was a shitty dryer and, like, it didn't dry her clothes all the way. So she had to put more in.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
And then run it. We had a place like that.
Oh, several. Several places like that.
God damn it. The worst.
So Matt's back at the attorney's office.
Yeah, and, like, he's like a crackhead now, like, trying to barter with the lawyer.
He comes
in.
Hey,
man, I got these cheeseburgers.
He comes in with the pink slip to his car and is like, look, I'm willing to sell my car. Here's my pink slip. It's probably worth $2,000. I'll find another way to make up the difference.
It's like Dumb and Dumber where he's like, see that? Those are IOUs. That's just as good as money. See that one right there? $275,000. That's a car. Might want to hold on to that one. Sorry, I really like Dumb and Dumber.
It's a great movie. And Matt tells the attorney, like, look, I'm not looking for this big settlement. I'm doing this because I want to stop discrimination. It's got to end here. I don't want the next gay person to get fired just because they are who they are.
And April O'Neil is like, look, you got me. The case is yours. We'll do it pro bono. I love it. This is going to help me as much as it is going to help you and your valiant cause. But I'm in this to get
to make famous. A name for myself is
make
what she
a
says.
Name, make a splash. And then this is the first time really that Matt is kind of setting in for Matt that, like, oh, this is going to be a thing. Like, I'm going to ruffle some feathers here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not sure he wants to do that, it looks like.
So we go back to Rhonda's place and we find that there are plastic mats laid all over the walkways of the apartment. So that's crazy thing number one. She goes into her room. Plastic mats are in her room too. She opens her closet door and all of her clothes are gone.
Yeah, this is really strange. So, I would have been like, Carrie?
That's what she does.
Please leave.
She's like, Carrie, can you come here? And she's like, Carrie, what's the smell coming out of my closet?
She's like, well, you had two choices, forest green or some other one.
But truly.
But she didn't choose any of them. Because she wasn't around. So you chose it.
She's like, they're shoe deodorizers. I've put them in all of your shoes. And she's like, oh, great. So all my shoes smell like pine needles now. And she's like, yes. Like, you just took a brisk, lovely walk through the forest.
Oh, God. Go away.
And then she's like, and where are my clothes? And she's like, oh, not to worry. I dropped them off at a very high-end dry cleaners in Beverly Hills. They should be done by tomorrow.
It's like all of her clothes?
And my question is, who's paying for this?
It's got to be her.
Is she going to like be billing Rhonda for these services?
I guess so.
I'd be pretty mad about that.
Yeah, every single article of clothing? That's a little much.
And then she was like, look, I need you to like, Rhonda's like, Carrie, I need you to like dial it back a notch. You need to like stay out of my stuff. And then she said, Carrie said something that's so weird. She's like, if I know anything, it's when to stop. And that was kind of like, ooh, single white female crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Yeah, first it's your clothes, then she's wearing your skin.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
It's bad. So now we are off to solo, creepy, very dark camping trip with Keith and Allison. Keith, of course, it's his day off because they all are. And he's like just chatting it up with Allison. This looks boring. This is the most boring camping ever. Like, they don't even have a lantern.
Well, they're around a campfire holding each other in little sleeping bags. And Keith is kind of talking to her about his background. And he says, we've got to get you to move out of that apartment complex. Billy's a good kid, but that's all he is, a kid.
Yeah, he's like, we got to get you out of there. Got to remove you from the situation. And then you live with me. And Allison, it's starting to settle in that Keith is boring and gross.
So she asks Keith how he and Lily started dating. He tells her they started dating in high school and they just never stopped, and that he hasn't told his parents yet about his divorce, and he's afraid to do so because he knows that they're going to be very upset with him.
Mm-hmm. Then this is the second time now Allison's childhood comes up, and she is very distant and closed off. Something happened there.
Yeah, so he says, what are your parents like? And she says, well, they're still together for what it's worth. And he's like, okay, well, you know, can you elaborate on that? And she's like, look, I had an ordinary childhood with ordinary parents. And Keith says, well, I'd like to hear about that in more detail sometime. And she said, well, sometime maybe I'll tell you.
Yeah, and it's like, what happened to you?
Yeah, I'm like, sexual abuse? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, she's got some skeletons.
And then Keith has a great idea.
Oh, God.
Let's go for a midnight hike.
Yeah, you know who says that? Murderers.
Serial killers. Why is that a great idea? That is the worst idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, Keith, I hope you're better at marine biology than you are at dates. This is shitty. This is a bad date.
So it's the next day. They're still in the woods.
And Keith shows up and he's like, hey, Allison, you want some fresh trout for breakfast?
Barf!
Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
Yuck, man. And then she's like, Keith, can you just take me home? This sucks. He's like, Keith, please, I don't feel good. He's like, what? You feel all right? He's like, just, I'm done here. Take me home. She can't even lie about it. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever you like.
Okay, so we're back to Carrie and Rhonda's apartment, and Rhonda is making Carrie breakfast. So Carrie comes out. Yeah. And
I had no idea robots ate food. But apparently they do.
Carrie comes out and she...
Will, you all right?
I am so tired. I'm like delirious right now.
We do these at so like late.
Midnight after we work all day and try to get the baby to sleep. It is really tough.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Carrie walks in and she's like, Oh, I see you're using my copper pan. Maybe you should soak that when you're done.
And she's like, hey, robot, power down. I'm making breakfast here.
And so you can tell that poor Carrie is crazy OCD. All she can look at is her pot, her like little frying pan that's like sitting on the counter. Mm-hmm. And she's just like trying everything she can within her body not to run over and pick it up and throw it in the sink and soak it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is so lovely. No one's ever made me breakfast like this. Do you think we should soak that pan?
I felt really bad for her.
Yeah.
Because OCD is like a real thing, and it's like, just let her soak her freaking pan, Rhonda.
And Rhonda's like, sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down, I'm going to make you breakfast. And it's like, man, you...
Let her soak her pan!
She really needs her pan soaked, but she pays for it later. So we cut away from that. And then Billy and Allison comes back from camping. And Billy is there, of course, and they have a discussion, and Allison opens up to Billy, and Billy's like, I think that you were in love with trying to get Keith, not actually in love with Keith. He was this unattainable goal that you have now attained, which made him way more attractive, but now you see him for all his grossness.
And... Allison tells Billy that she just couldn't tell Keith about her family situation. And this is when she opens up to Billy.
Mm-hmm.
She says that she always sensed a distance in her parents' marriage. And her dad had girlfriends.
Oh, yeah.
And what? Yeah, and that her mom would just pretend like they didn't exist and everything was fine. But she could certainly see the humiliation and the embarrassment and the hurt that this caused her mother. And that her dad would disappear for months at a time to be with these girlfriends, which is right. Sounds awful.
She's like, my dad had a beach house. And a wife.
He was a marine biologist.
Yeah.
And, you know, she goes on to say that she was obsessed with her dad's girlfriends. She wanted to know all about them because they got all of her dad's affection and attention. She envied them. She hated them. And she wanted to be them.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I mean, I get what she's saying there. I know if you take that literally, it's like you wanted to be with your dad like that. She just wanted her dad's attention, and these other women were getting it for months at a time. And then she says, well, Billy, you know, when I thought of the other woman, I would always think, who did she reference?
Oh, the chick from Greece.
Yeah, she said, I'd always think of Sandy from Greece. But now when I think of the other woman, I can see her face so clearly because it's mine.
Yuck.
And I mean, I think Allison has led a pretty sheltered but really sad life. I mean, if she really did believe that no one could ever love her and she had all of these daddy issues before and she's only been with two, like now three people. And
she's so lucky that she's with Keith. Oh, God.
It's really sad.
You need a hug and a real therapist.
So she goes over to Keith's beach house yet again, but this time she mission accomplishes it.
Yeah.
She says, Keith, we need to talk. I can't see you anymore.
And then Keith, we see a side of Keith we haven't seen before.
Yeah. And he's like, but I love you. And she's like, I love you too. I just can't do this. And he's like, I'm leaving my wife for you. What more do you want?
And she's like, I don't know. You to not be so gross?
No. She says, I'm just scared. And he's like, being with me scares you? And she says, no, being without you scares me. And again, what is this timeline? 2 weeks? I mean, it hasn't been more than 2 weeks.
No. This has got to be like a couple days.
Star-crossed lovers, Romeo and Juliet, like... Within 2 weeks, they've met their soulmates, and they have to break it off.
Yeah, and then he really yells at her, and then she goes to leave. He grabs her arm.
Yeah, hard. Grabs her arm.
And she made the same face she made when Billy elbowed her in the boobie a couple episodes ago.
And Keith says, what is this, some kind of game to you? You are so incredibly selfish. If you can't make it work with me, you can't be able to make it work with anybody.
And then she runs away.
Yeah.
She's like, it's over.
That's the classic, if I can't have you, no one can have you thing.
Yeah. And then we go back to Allison's apartment where she tells Billy, fire up the hot chocolate.
Well, not before we go to Rhonda's apartment.
Sorry.
Rhonda's sleeping on the couch and Carrie comes over with the frying pan, almost as if she's going to like clonk Rhonda on the head with it. And she's like, Rhonda, there's egg in my pan. I told you to soak my pan. There's egg in the grooves of the pan now.
And Rhonda goes, girl, this ain't gonna work.
But the thing that I found so funny is that throughout this entire process, Rhonda has been so like lackadaisical about all of this. She's just like, okay, this isn't gonna work. Like,
well, yeah, you can't mess with her sleep patterns.
Yeah, you really...
You mess with somebody's sleep patterns who loves sleep, that will get people. There's nothing that a lot of people hate more than getting woken up.
Yeah, well, I can attest to that. I know how that feels. So that's when... So we established that Carrie's going to move out. It's not working. Carrie's got to go.
Yep.
So that's when we go back to Allison and Billy's, and Allison walks in and Billy asks, how'd it go? And Allison says the greatest line of the episode.
Fire up the hot chocolate.
It's over, Billy. It's really over, Billy. She just breaks down. And of course,
good
Billy.
Good tears here.
Yeah, it was convincing.
Yeah, she had some good sobbing.
But of course, Billy's there to pick up the pieces and goes over to give her a big hug.
And that is the episode, gang. So to recap, Allison dumps Keith.
Matt is suing the halfway house for discrimination.
And Rhonda's first roommate is bonkers.
That's right.
Yeah.
So any 90s moments that stood out to you?
90s moments for me were all the overalls.
That was mine.
Oh, sorry.
Well, okay, there's an alarm clock that was pretty dated, but I loved how Allison like had that tool time girl look, you know, like when she came back from the camping trip.
From Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Binford.
Yeah, I mean, she had like those work boots on and then the slouchy socks and then the
flannel,
of course,
around the waist.
The flannel around the waist and then, of course, the overalls, and then Billy was rocking overalls.
Billy had like for real farmer overalls on.
I remember in 95, I had a pair of Gap overalls that I would wear probably once a week. I was in middle school, and I'd always take one of the straps and, like, only do one of the straps.
You're a loser.
I was super cool back then.
I want overalls to come back. They look kind of comfy.
They are coming back.
Are they?
Yeah. I don't think we could wear them, though.
I must have missed that.
We're old parents now. We're not cool.
Yeah, and Matt's line about how he refers to 2012 as, like, this end game year.
Like, oh, it's so far away. 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So what lesson do you take away from this episode?
The lesson for me is that you cannot rush into things that seem like a good idea at the time. You can't do it.
Agreed. I say fight for what you believe in.
That's good.
You don't want to be the other woman. You don't want to live with someone that doesn't let you soak your dish. You don't want to have people discriminate against you.
Right.
Go against the grain.
That's right. If you could rename the episode, what would it be?
Well, it was originally named Drawing the Line, which I think could really, like, that was a pretty good name. Sometimes our names for these episodes, I'm like, guys, who made that up? But this was a really good one. I don't think mine is going to be better, but I think maybe Sacrifice. Because everybody sacrificed their own... Why are you giving me this look?
Because that is not what you wrote down.
Well,
I'm looking at your notes.
Well, this was an afterthought, okay? That everybody had to sacrifice their own... themselves in order for the greater good. Like, Matt's going to put his reputation and his personal life on the line. Allison is going to throw away what she believes is true love. And Carrie is going to move out of this perfect roommate situation because she couldn't soak her dish.
Okay. I get it.
Don't be looking at my notes, BT Dubs. Like, these are my notes. Okay. I don't look at your notes. What did you write?
My rename for this episode is The Replacements. Ron has to replace her roommate.
Okay, yeah.
And Allison is a replacement for Lily.
And now the halfway house is going to need a replacement because they fired Matt.
That's right.
I like it.
What are your predictions here?
Well, Matt's going to become the poster child for gay rights in the 90s. Rhonda is going to have to move out of Melrose Place because she can't find a roommate that will live with her for more than a day.
Mm-hmm.
Jane is a self-fulfilling prophecy and her marriage is not safe. And then I think that Allison and Lily are going to meet. I just want them to... I really felt cheated out of that confrontation. So I want them to meet. I want them to compare notes about Keith and have some like revelation that he's like a psychopath. And that little line at the end when he was like, if you can't make it with me, you're not going to make it with anyone. It just really, like, I think he's going to be like stalker crazy person.
My predictions are Keith turns into a psycho. I sort of remember that. Joe comes. I think Joe might be a roommate. That was actually someone reached out to us on Instagram and said they think Joe will be Rhonda's new roommate.
Oh, do they ever? I know that Joe moves into that old apartment.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that they like live together.
Yeah. And I think we're going to return to the Kimberly storyline soon. We haven't had, she showed up for what, one episode?
Mm-hmm.
Teased us. And now we get no Kimberly. I need you.
We need our Kimberly back in our life.
I need you, Kimberly. So, as we promised, we read our reviews on iTunes, and we got a new one from
Henny Blanco. And the subject is wow, which is really nice. I had no idea I would enjoy a podcast about a 90s show that I've never seen, but here we are. 5 stars from the first episode on. I'm almost tempted to watch the show now. Thank you, Henny. That's so sweet of you to write to us. And I would recommend watching the show.
Definitely watch the show. That's what rewatch podcasts are about.
Yeah, it's really fun. And we can have all these fun inside jokes with all of the crazy characters.
It's like watching with your bros.
With your bros.
And your girls. As always, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. Our email is melrosepod@gmail.com. Let us know if you have any questions, if we left anything out. If you want us to cover something. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.